Well, good morning, boys and girls. We are here this beautiful day that the Lord has given to us. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. So we're going to start, if you'll let me, with a few songs. I think most of the songs are on the back of the... read very well, but I think you can join in anyway, because they're going to be songs that we all know. Who has a selection? This boy here. 43? All right. 43. Some brother would start it, please. Now, another one, please.
This one. Number 40. All right, we all know that.
You know, I travel... I hope that you're going to hear me here. I travel around the world. Yeah? Oh, yes, I see. I travel around the world, and nearly all the places I go, they know this song. India... Africa, it's well known all over the world. So let's sing number four, a few verses of number 40, all right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Last verse now. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. If I trust him, should I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. Pray, boys and girls, so let us close our eyes so we can ask the Lord's help. I'm going to choose one hymn, if you don't mind. 26. 26. You all found it? Number 26. Because I've got something here to show you. in a few minutes, which
is going to contain the truth of this psalm. How many have number 26? Well, all right, 26. I want to come forward to read me the first two lines. Oh, girl.
There's a life in
the world. Stand up so we can hear you.
There's a life in the wolf, and there's a life in the
wolf. Life in a look at the crucified one. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about a lady, a young lady, and I'm going to tell you her name.
I'm going to tell you her name. Her name was Amelia Hall. She lived in England, but she was a young lady of fashion. That is, she had all that her heart could wish. Good food, probably a new dress every week. She lived in a wealthy home, lots of money. But Amelia didn't have peace in her heart. Beautiful home. In fact, her father was a captain in the British Army. I think he was in the Navy. They lived in the south of England. Well, Amelia, as I said, she had everything she wanted. She didn't need anything but one thing, which I'm telling you about. She needed the Lord Jesus, and she did not have him, though she had lots of money. So she went to a little meeting, and she heard the gospel about the Lord Jesus dying for sinners. And she felt, I'm a sinner, but I don't know how my father is going to react to this when I go home and tell him that I've been at that little hall. I don't know. He's a pretty strong man, a captain. And but anyway, she went back home, and she told her father where she had been. He flew into a rage. Listen, young lady, don't you bring any of that stuff into this house. Do you understand? And I don't want you going to that meeting again. I'm not having any of that nonsense in my house. Well, there was his ultimatum. He was not going to have that at all. But time went on, but there was still a hunger in the heart of Amelia. She went back to that hall and she heard the gospel, and furthermore, this time she got saved, brightly saved. Oh, she was so happy. But she had to go home. She had to go home. And when she went home, her father met her. Do you think he was happy? By no means. Listen, young lady, I told you about this before, that we're not having this in this house. Look at, see that table in my library there? See that horsewhip on the table? You go up to your room, think about what you have done, and come down tomorrow morning and tell me your decision. Because if you don't, if you're going to continue with this nonsense, I'll whip it out of you with that whip that's right there in the library. And he meant what he said. He wasn't fooling. So Amelia Hall went upstairs to her room, but she didn't sleep very much that night. She wasn't so much afraid of the horsewhip. She was very sad for what her father had said. She prayed for him, and she sat down with a piece of paper and a pen. She wrote this hymn that night. She wrote it. during the middle of the night. But she still had to meet her father next morning. Remember the appointment? So downstairs she came for breakfast. She wasn't interested in breakfast, really. But downstairs she came, and her father was right there at the bottom of the stairs. The horsewhip was right there on the table. What she did, she handed him that poem. And he took it, and he read it through. And it convicted him. The Lord had been working in Captain Hall's heart. And he fell back in his chair, a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus, saved. And he was gathered to the Lord's name for many years, Captain Hall, in those early decades there of the 1800s. He served the Lord. He was saved through that hymn that his daughter had written. Do you think he used the horsewhip? Do you think he used it now? Of course not. So let's sing a few stanzas of number 26. Some brother would start it, please. Your Bibles, if you're old enough to read, boys and girls, at John chapter 3. We're just going to read a verse or two. In verse 14 and 15 of John chapter 3. All right? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want a boy to help me because I can't hold this microphone. You're going to offer, eh? And talk at the same time. And hold things at the same time. That's the boy. Hold it up so all the people can see it. What do we have here? This boy. Right, a serpent on a pole. There we have it. I think maybe you know this story already, but for anyone that doesn't know it, here's the background. The children of Israel, God's earthly people, were going through a desert. You know what a desert is? There's nothing but sand and rocks. No one to bring food to you. So God sent down food every morning. Angels' food. But the people weren't satisfied with that. They said to Moses, take us back to the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt where we were being whipped by those taskmasters, those bosses that were trying to get all they could, all the work out of us that they could. And God heard their complaining. Sometimes we complain, boys and girls too, and God hears. They said, we're tired of this light bread. It's the same all the time. We want something else. And God heard their complaint. And what did he do now? A girl or this boy here? Yeah. He sent serpents into the camp of Israel. And I guess you know what happened. Hold this for me, please. These serpents were fiery serpents. Something like I see when I go to India. What is this?
A cobra.
Good boy. A cobra. I've seen these in real life a number of times. They're dangerous, of course, you know. I've heard stories of the cobra biting, and usually it's fatal. That is, if you're bitten by a cobra, it's only a matter of an hour or two and you're gone, unless you get immediate attention. Anyway, these fiery serpents that God sent, they went in and out among the people, the camp, in the tents. They could climb walls. They were quick, and they were fiery, and they were poisonous, like Satan. He has bitten every one of us. And in our bodies, there is sin. Sin is in every one of our bodies. You cannot see it, but as Mr. Hebert said last night, it is right there in the heart. Bitten by Satan, bitten by sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what were they going to do? Because they were dying. They were dying, men, women, boys and girls. They were dying. And there was no doctors. And there was no medicine. Or bandages, I don't think anything. Yes?
They would look at the serpent on the pole.
Good boy. Yes, God had mercy on those people because he loved them. And he said to Moses, Moses, make a serpent out of brass. Put it up where they can all see it. And if they look, they will be healed. They'll be saved from all that terrible poison that is in their body. If they look, they will live. As many as looked to that serpent on the pole, immediately, as quick as I snapped my finger, they were healed from that awful disease, that awful sickness that was going through their bodies. And many people died. Perhaps boys and girls included, I don't know, but I think so. Because there was 1 million people, so there must have been a lot of children. Okay. And Moses lifted it up. Come and look, and you will be healed. Look. Thank you, lad. What's your name? Clement. Boys and girls, here's a little story. How old are you, Clement?
7.
Good. You're just the age that I want to tell. To tell about another little boy who was 7. His name was Roger. Anyone with the name of Roger? Here. Roger was 7 years old. He lived in Canada. He lived near the Niagara Falls. And he was out in a boat with his sister, Deanne, and another man, James. He had on a life belt, lifesaver, and they were rowing around on the river just ahead of the falls, and they lost control. They got into the current of the river, and they couldn't turn around. Furthermore, they capsized. That is, the boat turned over. And what happened? They all were thrown into the water. Now, the Niagara Falls, you know, is about twice as high as this school here, 162 feet. And little Roger only had on a life belt. He was 7, and he was floating down to the falls. His sister was saved just in time. Someone reached out their hand and grabbed his sister just in time before she went over. The man who was driving the boat, he went over and lost his life. What happened to little Roger? He went over the falls. The only boy who went over the falls and came up. He did. He went right down into the abyss, the billows, the roaring waters at the bottom of the falls, and he came up, bobbing around there and drifting down the river. But in Canada, there is a ship, and it is called the Maid of the Mist. And the captain of that ship, he saw this object bobbing up and down. It was a little boy, Roger. He was calling for help. So he had a life preserver, and he threw it out. And the second time, Roger grabbed it. He was pulled into safety and lived to tell the story. Roger Woodward, 7 years of age. Of course, it was splashed all over the newspapers of Canada. Boy goes over the falls and lives. Listen, that's not the end of the story. 1 year later, Roger was at a gospel meeting in New York, and he heard that he was a sinner. He heard that he was drifting down into eternity, and he wasn't saved. He wasn't ready to meet God. And he saw the Lord Jesus dying for him, suffering on the cross. He said, "The Lord saved me once so that he could save me the second time." And little Roger looked to the Lord. He was 8 years old now, wasn't he? He looked to the Lord, and what a wonderful peace and joy came into his heart. He knew that he was saved and his sins were forgiven, washed in the blood of Christ. He said, "The Lord saved me forever. I was drifting down, just like 1 year ago I was drifting down to the Niagara Falls. And the Lord preserved my life, and here I am." Nothing in the newspapers about that. They weren't interested in that. The last I heard about Roger was that he was preaching the gospel. Of course, he's a big man now, because that happened back in the 1960s. Well, boys and girls, let us remember that God gave his Son to die for us on the cross. And with Roger, it was his last chance. When that life preserver was thrown to him, He was struggling in the water. Frantically, he grabbed onto it. Three things. Notice. One, Roger knew that he needed to be saved. Do you know that you need to be saved? Maybe some of you already belong to the Lord. Number two, he could not save himself. You know that. He was struggling in the water. There was no hope of him saving himself. Three, when the lifeline was thrown to him, he grabbed it. And he was pulled into safety. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus, those everlasting arms of love are reaching out to lift you up this morning from the pit of sin, to give you peace like Roger got by believing in Christ, to save you from your sins. That was the last chance that it was the last chance for Roger. There was no time to delay. I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened in Brazil. My wife is Eleanor here. You've seen her. She's from Brazil. We've been married 1 year. Well, we were coming back from visiting her relatives in the south of Brazil. We were coming through a very large city, and we were at the airport waiting for our flight to be called. We were sitting in the waiting room, and a lot of people were around. They speak Portuguese there. They don't speak English very much. And, I thought, you usually give out tracts at the airport, but for some reason I don't feel like it today. So I didn't give out tracts that day to the passengers that were sitting there. Flights were called. Our flight we were waiting for to go to Sao Paulo, that huge city of 17 million people where Eleanor lives. And another flight was going to that same city at the same time that we were to leave. And it left. It left that city where we were, Porto Alegre, and it went to Sao Paulo. But it never arrived. Those people that were on that flight, we were not booked on that flight. They never arrived alive in Sao Paulo. If they had received a tract, I still reproach myself for not giving out tracts. It would have been literally their last opportunity. Because that flight coming into Sao Paulo, a foggy, wet night, hit the runway, and the pilot couldn't control the plane. It went up over a highway and smashed into a fuel depot. Well, you know what happened then. It was an explosion. 199 people. I guess they were all sitting in that airport an hour and a half before were taken into eternity. Last chance. How solemn. So, boys and girls, we don't know what a day may bring forth. If God is speaking today to you, it's the day of salvation, maybe the last chance to receive the Lord into your heart by faith, to reach out your hand like Roger did in our story and grab hold of salvation through Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, in the story that we told you, children of Israel, they knew they were dying. They couldn't do anything to save themselves. The serpent of brass was before them. Boys and girls, this boy that helped me here, Clement, you still available here, please? Okay, thank you. Turn over on the other side. What do we got here? A cross. Now, we don't look to a... Turn it around here, Clement. We don't look to a serpent of brass now. No. Because we see a lot of people with crosses around their necks these days, you know. But some of these people that have crosses, you speak to them about the Lord Jesus, and they don't have any interest. They think a cross is a sort of a charm. But I want you to get the point here. The Lord Jesus was lifted up on the cross. As we read in our verse in John chapter 3, lifted up by wicked men, nailed to the cross, crown of thorns, his back scourged and bleeding. Yeah, hold it up. The spear put into his side. Forthwith came out blood and water. Immediately God said, here is the way to be saved. The blood of Jesus, Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all your sins. For you too. Look and you will live, like that lady we spoke of, Amelia. She looked to Christ and she was saved. Like Roger in our story that was nearly gone in the Niagara River, he looked to the Lord Jesus and was saved. Will you look to him today? Don't look at yourself. Look to Christ. I want to say something. I want to say something before we stop. If you ask the Lord to save you, you will be put on his shoulders of strength. Not one shoulder. Because easily you could fall off. The Lord Jesus, the creator of the whole universe, he holds the world, this whole globe here. The world, he holds it on one shoulder. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 9. One shoulder he holds the world. But if you, a lost sheep, a wandering sheep, look to him, believe he died for you, he'll put you on both shoulders and he won't let you go until he has you on that peaceful shore in the glory. Thank you, Clement. One more story and then we're finished. This boy here, this girl here would hold this for me, please, and this boy on the other side here. Could you stand up? Good. Stand up and hold this up. Now, this is another story about the Niagara Falls, okay? How many have seen the Niagara Falls? The boys and girls, I see. So you know what it's like. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a man. Here's his name. Mr. Blondin. He was a Frenchman. But he was the best tightrope walker in the world. He lived many years ago in France. But he came over to Canada. And he's going to walk over the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. There it is. Underneath are the dark, swirling waters. You know how dangerous that would be. Mr. Blondin was just like a monkey. He climbed up and he went across the falls. And he laid down and he turned a somersault. And he took a wheelbarrow over and he sat down and ate his lunch. Right in the middle of the falls, Mr. Blondin was a daredevil. There were 100,000 people watching. They were weak with anxiety. Would he get over safe and sound? He had a big 40-foot pole that he sometimes used to balance himself. But there he was, crossing over, just as playful as a monkey. But he said, when he got over here to the American side, there was that vast crowd. They run special trains. They say 100,000 people were watching him. That's a lot of people, 100,000 people. And he said, I don't want to go over there alone. I don't want to go back to Canada alone. Who will come with me? He gave the challenge. Is there a volunteer that will come with me on my back? They all knew that he could do it. There was the Prince of Wales, the son of the king, looking on. Mr. Blondin said, "Your Majesty, will you come with me?" "No, thanks." "Anyone else volunteering to come? Because I don't want to go across to Canada all by myself." No one would come. Well, he said to his manager, "Henry, will you come with me?" "Yes, I will come." He was the one that looked after all the public relations, you know. So he got on the back of Mr. Blondin, and they started across, foot by foot, inch by inch. Here they were out in the middle, the dark, swirling waters below, ready to grab them. One wrong move and he's gone. You know that. And he had a man on his back. But Mr. Blondin had enemies too. And someone had loosened the rope. And here it was, swaying back and forth. And Mr. Blondin knew there was trouble. This was the closest call of his life. Because, would he get over? "Henry," he said, "you get down and hold my hips. Because this is dangerous." "Now remember, Henry," he said, "you're no longer Henry. You are Blondin. If I sway, you sway. Don't balance yourself, or that's the end of us." He grit his teeth. There was the shore. "There's only one way we're going to get across here. Safe." He ran for all he was worth. And to everyone's amazement, no one knows how he held his balance. He arrived on the Canadian shore, exhausted. The last time that Mr. Blondin ever crossed over the falls. All the paths of glory lead to the grave. And gone is Mr. Blondin. I don't know if he crossed over the deep waters of death and landed on the heavenly shore. I don't know. Gone are those 100,000 people that watched him. Gone is Henry, his manager. They're all in eternity. But let me tell you, before we stop, about a man who went down under the waters of judgment. There were the angry waters of the Niagara River. The Lord Jesus on the cross, he went down under the deep waters of judgment, the waves and the billows, and he came up triumphant. He had died for sinners, and now he's inviting you, boys and girls, to come and receive him and get on his shoulders of strength this morning so that you'll cross over the great abyss from life, from death to life. No one has crossed the sea of death without the Lord Jesus. Thousands have received him, have been put on his shoulders of strength, and are safe and sound on the heavenly shore. We want every one of you here to safely land in the glory, washed from your sins by the precious blood of Christ. Thank you. Just roll it up for me, please. Well, time that we stopped. This is something that we use for the boys and girls in Ottawa. So I see there's some little ones here. And we will just show you this and then we will close. What color is that, lad? Good boy. What color is this? Correct. And this boy here?
White.
And
gold.
Gold. Well, starting with the gold page instead of the black, what does the gold page speak of? eternity, Clement says. This boy here. Okay. Yeah. The streets of gold in the glory in heaven where the Lord is, who has come up out of the waters of judgment. The black page, what does that speak of?
Sin.
Sin, right. And the red page? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And the white page?
Being clean.
Yeah, this is how we can have those sins that have blotted our lives and our hearts washed away so that we are ready to meet the Lord in the glory forever and ever. There was a little girl in my hobby class in Ottawa, Canada. She was a French girl. She came to the meeting on crutches. She was a lovely child, but for some reason she had an injury and she had to use crutches. And she came faithfully to the hobby class week after week with her brothers and her family. They just lived near the hall. And listened to the gospel. She had a lovely smile. It was quite quite difficult for her to get up and down the stairs, but she drank in the message. And then one night in December in Ottawa, Canada, where it was so cold, I know her house. It's no longer there because it burnt down. But there was a fire in that house. And that little French girl and all her brothers who came to the hobby class many times and heard the message that you have heard this morning, they were all taken in death suddenly. I think one brother escaped. The whole family were gone in that fire in the middle of the night. I hope that I'll meet that little girl in the glory. And I hope that I will meet each one of you there too by His grace. Let's sing a song to conclude. Number 42. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes and just thank the Lord for our Sunday school?